This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show podcast.
Senator Bernie Sanders will guarantee a job with at least $15 an hour for wages and health benefits for every American. And Mike Pompeo has the votes to become Secretary of State. And George Stephanopoulos' wife, Maxima, on national television. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it very, very much. Facebook.com/Zioli Show, as you know. Or you might have heard President George H.W. Bush is in some pretty tough health right now in the hospital. Family waiting for an update on his condition. Of course, you know, losing just his wife a few days ago. So it's been a rough go of it for the former president. If anything happens in the next hour, we'll certainly make you aware of it. So if you are on your way tonight to Turnersville to see Chappaquiddick, I hope to see you there. The doors open at 6:30, and the I think the movie theater itself opens at 7, and then the movie's at 7, 7:30. 7:30 is when the movie, that's when they show the big Chappaquiddick movie on the big screen. So hope to see you there. All right. We look at all these things that happen on the national stage, and I know what you think. You think to yourself, all right, Sanders' proposal is nuts, Rich, and it's never going to happen here, so why even get worked up about it? Why even worry about it? All right. Years ago, there was a movie called Dave with Kevin Klein. I don't know if you ever saw this movie. It was great. It was actually a very, very funny movie. So it's all about Kevin Klein. He's a comedian kind of guy. He does impressions. Imagine a Joe Conklin type, but he also looks like the president. So the plot of the movie is that the real president is having a, he's shtupping his secretary. So they can't be on the campaign trail or something like that. So they come to Kevin Klein, who's doing an impression of the president in the car dealership or something, and they say, we need you to be the president. So all he has to do is walk through the hotel and get into the limousine and appear as if the president's leaving, even though the real president's staying behind and while he's in the process of schnupping, he has a heart attack. And so Kevin Klein's, you know, the other Kevin Klein, the guy who's really good at the impressions, is now told by the people around him that you're the president. So act like the president. We'll tell you what to do, what to say, and everything like this. And because it's Hollywood and because it's a left leaning fantasy, it's very funny. Kevin Klein and Sigourney Weaver plays the first lady, and well, she figures out that he's not really the president, just looks like him. They haven't been together in a couple years. You know, it's a little bit like the Clintons, and they haven't been together in a few years. So she didn't know right away, but then she figures it out, and she tries to leave the White House, and then he goes with her, and they have this moment, the two of them, where they start to bond over all the good they can do for the country. Because the real president was this mean Republican type, you know? He was a mean Republican type. And he wanted to cut the budget for school lunches and kids and all this other stuff. And they have a great scene where Charles Grodin plays his friend, his longtime friend. He comes to the White House to help the president with the budget. And he goes over this, and he goes with him and all this stuff. And then the president's trying to, the fake president, Kevin Klein's character, who just looks like the president, who is now in the bunker of the White House with, you know, a feeding tube and everything else. But the fake president wants to save all of these lefty policies, and the people around him, his chief of staff and everything, are going, no, 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 stop it. That's not what we do here. And Hollywood being Hollywood, the end of Dave, Act 3, is when he decides he's going to embrace the presidency, even though he's not elected president. He's just a guy who does a very good impression of the president, but he's going to embrace the presidency, and he's going to have an agenda, and he's going to offer the nation his plan. So his plan is, literally, in front of the entire Congress, he says, I will guarantee every American has a job. And then Congress, all the Republicans dismiss him. The lefties all love it. In fact, there's some actual real politicians in the movie. I think Senator Tom Harkin, a big Democrat senator, ran for president at one point. He talks about how he goes, well, I love this proposal. Now all we have to do is just cut Star Wars and we can pay for it. And the movie ends where Kevin, I don't want to give away the ending if you haven't seen it, but it, you know, it's a cute Hollywood movie. But when I saw that, I thought to myself, the idea of the government guaranteeing everybody a job, well, that's crazy. I mean, who would ever even think that in this country? Who would ever think, but it's a Hollywood and, oh, it's so freeing. And yes, the government, federal government guarantee a job. And as goes Hollywood movies, well, it tends to go real life. And back then, if a politician had actually come out and suggested what Kevin Kline's character in the movie Dave had suggested, they would have been laughed at, right? Would have said, that's nuts. And today, Senator Sanders comes out with his plan to any American who wants one, which is literally what Kevin Kline's character in Dave says in that speech. He goes, well, this government will guarantee a job for anyone who wants one. 1993 was the movie Dave. 1993. And I know that you think, why are you bringing up a movie that's, you know, 20 years old or 25 years old? It's because I love political movies. I do. I love political movies. And this is a good movie. It's a very well done movie. But my premise is that if this were 1993, nobody would really ever announce this stuff. But it's 2018, and this is now, in some respects, with the left, certainly, with some Democrats for sure, and with young people, absolutely welcome. And it didn't happen overnight. It took a long time for us to get to a place where you'd have a significant portion of the population in the United States of America who would think it was a good idea for the federal government to guarantee a job for everybody. Look, it started with the $15 minimum wage, right? Where they would guarantee you this minimum wage. And even though it was disastrous for jobs in places like Seattle, where it was a big bust in other places, it didn't matter because to the left, this is something that they have to push. It's their dogma. It's that you are entitled to this and we in the government are going to make sure it happens. Now we're going a step further. Now it's a step further where we're not only going to guarantee you the wage, we're going to guarantee you the job that comes with it. How do you create jobs if you're government? Easy. Very easy to do. It's what Roosevelt did during the Great Depression. The WPA. This public works projects and public works agencies, and they did all kinds of things. You can do it. I mean, you can absolutely do it. It's not a question of can you do it. You can absolutely do it. The federal government, remember, can spend as much as it wants. It can buy more debt or go into more debt. It can print more money. It can do whatever it wants. There's nothing that holds the federal government back from guaranteeing every American a job, except for that we in this country are supposed to be capitalist, and we think it's a terrible idea. And economically speaking, it is a terrible idea. But what's stopping them from doing it? Just a matter of votes. I want to ask you a question, honestly. Do you not see a place in the near future where this will be a thing? Because I do. I think we're going there. I absolutely think we're going there. This is from Reason.com, my favorite libertarian site. Scott Shackford writing. Bernie Sanders has a job for you. How would you like to make $15 an hour cleaning up park trails for your municipal government? What? You say that sounds like something an employee of the city's parks department already does or is supposed to do? What about repainting school playgrounds? Oh, the ununionized school district employees gave you a stern look. Hang on, he'll get back to you. His new plan will make sure that everybody who is unemployed will get a job. It will invent a bunch of new government jobs and pay $15 an hour with benefits. That's the plan, according to the Washington Post. It reported the proposal, and Sanders' office doesn't have a cost estimate or any idea yet how it will be funded. Post policy writer Jeff Stein turned to a study by a pack of left-leaning economists for the Levy Economics Institute of Bard College, who seem to think only good things will happen with the creation of millions of government-funded jobs and hardly any bad things. This is in the story here. And again, in 1993, when the movie Dave came out, if a politician actually proposed this, they would be laughed at and said, this is stuff in the movies. It's not real life, right? We can't actually guarantee, the federal government can't actually guarantee jobs. I mean, the Great Depression was a very different exception, different circumstances. And by the way, FDR's New Deal did not save the economy. It was World War II that did. It was certainly not his public works plan. But I digress for another show. Here we are in 2018, where you have economists in a major newspaper, the Washington Post, who come out and say, quote, the following, ready? Job guarantee advocates say that their plan would drive up wages by significantly increasing competition for workers, ensuring that corporations have to offer more generous salaries and benefits if they want to keep, ready, wait for it, their employees from working for the government. Oh, yeah. So the government of the United States of America, the federal government, is going to roll out this beautiful new jobs program. Everybody can go to work for them, doing whatever. And those jobs will be so good, they'll compete with private sector jobs, which will then drive up wages, according to lefty kooky economists who live in fantasy world, will drive up private sector wages because the private sector will say, oh, I got to keep them from going to work for the government. Now, it's fairy tale stuff here, but you have a lot of economists who push this kind of stuff. In fact, in the Washington Post story, they talk about the $15 an hour plus benefits to millions of unemployed Americans, and they provide this Levy Economics Institute study showing examples of how these guaranteed jobs might play out at the local level. Here's one. Ready? Quote, a local artist collective employs painters, actors, musicians, and stagehands to run year-round productions for the community. They organize school outreach programs, they run summer camps, and offer free art, music, and literacy classes for disadvantaged youths. They collaborate with local schools and offering art enrichment programs. Okay, sounds great, right? Sounds great. What's the problem here? Well, the Levi study would say that the description of these types of programs funded by the federal government would be absolutely great. So these artists now who can, or actors or whoever, who have a tough time making a living, well, now they'll be guaranteed $15 an hour to do this stuff. And that, of course, is wonderful for the community because it keeps kids out of trouble and on and on and on. So there's all these societal benefits outside of this, this leftist think tank says. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful idea. The report openly uses the WPA, the Works Progress Administration of the New Deal, as a model to support it. From Robbie Sove's piece at Reason.com, perhaps you're wondering, is there even any widespread demand for these kinds of jobs that aren't already being filled? That may sound like some sort of reference to marketplace capitalism, but that's not the point. The point is jobs. The study by this lefty economic think tank says, quote, it supports the offer of employment from the profitability of employment. Projects are created to serve community needs rather than prioritizing whether the projects are deemed profitable in the narrow sense. Now, how does one determine what a community needs while ignoring market reality? Why should taxpayers fund community plays if they have no interest in actually sitting through the community plays? This report makes it very clear that the task falls to local public institutions and job centers, not market demands. That means it will be driven, much like the report, by the interests of the people in charge of the programs. These programs could end up as the breeding grounds for government to also promote its own agenda, obviously. You know, I don't think there'll be a government program to promote conservative talk radio. I don't see that happening in the near future, but, you know, certainly they could use more NPR types. Am I right? And this is what I talk about here. The study estimates the program could attract as many as 15 million participants. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 2017 ended with 22.3 million people employed in government sector jobs. That's federal, state, and local all combined. This program would result in about a 50% increase in people who work for the government. Right now, cities and states are flirting with and sometimes embracing bankruptcy because of government wages and pensions and pension obligations, et cetera. Chicago just, or a suburb of Chicago just laid off 18 firefighters and 13 police officers as a result of the state withholding money from the city to pay for its police pension fund. I would tell you that the biggest cliff as a nation we're looking at down the road is the unfulfilled pension obligations at the state, local, and federal level all combined. But now the idea is, well, let's expand government employees. You know, there's all this stuff they could do. They could do all kinds of stuff. Go do it. And I'm telling you right now, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, hell, 10 years ago, this stuff was the stuff of Hollywood. This was the stuff of lefty fantasies. You know what else was the stuff of lefty fantasies a short time ago? If you ever saw the movie The American President with Michael Douglas and Annette Bening, it's a great movie, again, wonderful movie, total fantasy fairy tale, but at the end of the movie, the president gives this very, very impassioned speech, you know, the one where, my name is Andrew Shepherd, and I am the president, and he says, if I have to go door to door, if I have to, I'm going to get the guns. I'm going to get the guns. If I got to go door to door, if I have to, I'm going to get the guns. Now, when The American President came out, that also, that kind of thinking was seen as, Hollywood fantasy, ha ha. How many politicians out there have that exact same mindset of, I'll go door to door if I have to, I'm going to get the guns? You see where we're heading? You see the road that we're going down here? And that's why I tell you that when Bernie Sanders proposes this now, it's not going to have support now. But all those snowflakes who are graduating college, who've been told that for their own good, they should lose the liberty to go scuba diving, and they've said fine. And for their own good, they should lose the liberty to go backpacking with their friends, and they've said fine. And for their own good, they should absorb menus and calorie counts and restrictions on this and restrictions on that. And for their own good, they should do this. And for their own good, they should do that. Have been spoon-fed this stuff for so long. So ask that generation, not you, not me, not your friend, not your colleague, but that generation in college and graduating college, what they think of this idea. What they think of this idea after years and years and years, because these things don't happen overnight. These are slow, slow. It's the old, you know, how to eat an elephant thing, one bite at a time. Slowly, very slowly, until someday you have enough people around who go, yeah, let's do it. And that is how you ultimately have the left take over what is basically seen as reality and common sense. And it all goes away for the good of the children. Yes, the children. 855-839-1210, #1210, and a sell on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We'll have Bernie Sanders here in a few minutes to explain his new program. We're very happy to announce our special guest will be joining us in a matter of moments.
We're back with the Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I just saw your tweet about Elvis Duran. Oh, that's so lame. That's so lame.
It's like the oldest radio, morning radio gag out there. Ugh.
I hate radio sometimes. I hate it. This is the dumbest industry ever. I hate it.
Oh, so bad.
So bad. Oh. I mean, not what we do necessarily, but FM radio in particular.
Oof.
I have to do a call tomorrow with a national sponsor, and I can't say who it is yet, but I've done these calls before. And before you can endorse the product on the air, you have to try it. You know what I mean? But they tell you on the call what you're supposed to say, what you're supposed to stress, and all that stuff. So it'll be a bunch of hosts from around the country who call in. You dial in a number, right? What's always funny about this, too, is that I'll come on. I'll be like, hey, it's Rich from WPHD in Philly. How you doing? And then you'll get, it's Bob from WNTP in Montana. It's a beautiful morning here. The sun is shining. I am so excited to endorse your product. You go, oh, my God. I can't believe I'm in the same industry as these people. The FM morning people, you know. It's Rocky Rock and Roxanne. How are you? We're the drive at 9 here on WNTP. So happy to have chosen us. Hey, how are you, everybody?
Radio is basically smart people like you and then, like, you know, people who are otherwise qualified to be like janitors.
Maybe I can record that call tomorrow. I don't know. I'll probably I should do that, right? Hey, it's Sleazy Sam and Ginger Sue. We can't wait to sell those pajama bottoms. Hey! And I'm like, oh my God.
Can we get a little risque with the talk?
Sometimes me and my co-host, we blur the lines, you know what I mean? Very unique in that respect. How far can we go is my question.
Bad.
So now, what is this now? Elvis Duran of the Z Morning Zoo? That's still on the air in New York City,
in
apparently?
Some form or another. That format just won't die.
And it's Q102 in this market.
Yeah. Oh, it's syndicated?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like one of the highest paid radio.
Of course he is. He got in before everybody stopped paying radio people. iHeartMedia in New York looking for the next morning co-host for the nationally syndicated Elvis Duran in the Morning Show.
Yeah.
Pop culture addiction, obsessive social media habits, and ability to talk to America about your interesting life makes you exactly who they're looking for. Live and work in the greatest city in the world.
Are you going to try out?
Yeah.
So
why don't we all try out? Be like, look, here's the deal. We are a unique. We want to be your co-host. We all want to be the co-host. Are you interested? Females and minorities encouraged. Click here to apply. I love that.
Of course.
Females and minorities.
Yep. Like they don't already know who it's going to be. They have the person already picked out. They just want to do a, you know, a hacky promotion.
Or you could have a female minority traffic person.
Ooh.
You could have that, like, in private parts. You could do that, I guess. Hey, All right, so maybe we'll move to New York and do that.
That's a great idea, though. Like, we should all do it and then just kind of kick Elvis Duran out. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. We go in there with the guise of, hey, we'd love to be the co-host of this show. And then meanwhile, while we're there, we just slowly... It's like socialism. You just slowly creep in. Doesn't happen overnight. The next thing you know, everyone's like, where's Elvis? We're like, I don't know.
Elvis has left the building.
Thank you, Dawn. Yes. Elvis has left the building. It's that kind of wacky fun we'll do when we endorse your pajama bottoms. What are those pajama thingies that you sit in the couch on all day in your mom's basement?
Snuggies.
What do they call those? Snuggies, yeah. Right?
Right? Snuggies? I think so, yeah.
Hey, it's Wacky Wayne of the Weasels. We are so excited to endorse your Snuggie. In fact, I'm wearing one right now. Am I right? Oh, God. I can't believe I'm in the same industry as these people.
You are.
Them and NPR, though, too. I heard a podcast today, some NPR podcast, and I don't... Every time I listen to an NPR host, and I don't know what it is, they always sound like in those zombie movies where you're creeping through and you don't want to wake the zombies up, so you're really quiet.
Yep.
You know, like in The Walking Dead or that Will Smith movie, you know, where they're really shh, just like, they can hear us, so let's be quiet. And that's every NPR show I've ever listened to. Every time. No matter what they're saying. We found 50 scalps on the side of the road today. Do you think that might be somebody from Westworld coming in reality to scalp people? Or is it possible that maybe, in fact, the head scalper is back out of prison? Well, I don't know. It's very possible. And he escaped last night, and I think he escaped and killed a family of five on the side of the road in a minivan. Well, that's really shocking. I know I'm shocked. Are you shocked? I'm really shocked. We're all shocked by that. That's every NPR interview, every time, no matter what. I just watched a nuclear missile hit. Yes, I believe Rhode Island is gone. Well, that's a shame. Rhode Island was a great place to visit in the summer. I have wonderful memories of being a kid in Rhode Island. And now it is hit by nuclear missiles. Do you think we should warn people that nuclear missiles are on their way? Maybe we should do that. I don't know if there's a nuclear missile warning here. Perhaps there's not. Well, if you are, you should possibly go to a basement, I believe. Some take shelter in some capacity. Would be good. Good idea. Do you think so? Good idea?
And if you don't have a basement, the stairwell.
Well, I'm not sure the stairwell would be always new codes, you know, over the last few years have done. Oh, there's another one. I think they're coming for us now.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's a shame.
We better run.
Well, in the meantime, we want to remind you that every morning you can get All Things Considered if we are around tomorrow. I don't know if we will be or not, but if we are around tomorrow, please do consider watching us. In the meantime, do you like baked beans? I like beans in a can.
Oh, beans.
The problem, though, is what happens if you don't have a can opener in your bunker, in your shelter? What do you do?
Oh.
I like the kinds where you peel the can lids off. I prefer that very, very much. In fact, often when my wife and I are shopping, I say to her, do they have it in the peel-off can option?
Yes, I had a boss who was an Eagle Scout, and he knew how to remove it with his shoe.
And then Evil Jared cut his hand on that because he's not as smooth as he likes to think he is. It's the dumbest business. I swear, the dumbest business ever.
It really is.
Then you have some national hosts who are afraid to criticize Trump on anything he does. So like Trump could come out tomorrow and be like, listen, I'm giving everyone a job. And they'd be like... So today on the show, we're going to talk about where was Nixon in 72 anyway? And you're like, would you stop? Like, just talk about it. We're not babies. But what else are we going to do? It's not like we have a choice of options. We're already in this thing.
We're in it.
Unless I can get a job from Bernie Sanders. You think I can do that?
You definitely can.
Is this thing on, you snowflakes? $15 an hour to pave my driveway. Who's in? Are you in? Everybody gets a job. J-O-B if you want a B-E-R-N with me. You feel the burn, you gotta get a J-O-B. And I'm giving out free jobs. You get a job. You get a job. You useless bastard, you get a job too.
That's good. I think that's part of what his plan is, right?
They say, who's going to pay for it? I say, who cares?
I think that's pretty accurate,
that's
too,
good.
Right?
But what if you worked for Bernie, and then, God forbid, something happened, and they would ask you to be Bernie?
Like in the movie Dave?
Yes. See?
I could do that, right? I could definitely do that.
This is Bernie Sandazioli. I'm here today to tell you it's time to leave the basement unless you don't want to. That's okay, too. You're still going to get paid. Who pays? You pay. We all pay.
I like that. That's good, right?
That's good.
All right. And
Are you worried about the national debt? Me neither.
That's good. What other questions do you have for Bernie? Go ahead, Dawn. In your NPR from the Minnesota voice, go ahead, ask me questions.
So, Bernie, how do you upkeep those four homes?
That's a great question, Dawn. I will tell you, it requires lots of government labor. $15 an hour. Hey, those daffodils aren't going to feed themselves, you jerk.
But do you provide the rakes?
The rakes will be provided by the Federal Bureau of Raking. They will provide the raking and the training for the raking. You'll go to a four-week camp. You'll learn the proper raking techniques. Don't leave lines on my lawn, you little snowflake. My Bernie Sanders.
My Bernie Sanders is much meaner than real Bernie. Megaphone Bernie is mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Real Bernie's kind of warm and fuzzy in an old socialist kind of way, but this is mean Bernie's. Megaphone Bernie's just downright mean.
That's true.
When he straps a megaphone to his, you watch out. You know, it's a different Bernie.
Why are there potholes on 95 and people not working? Put two and two together, and you say, "What does it cost?" I say, "Who cares? My potholes gotta go. No potholes, no work. No work, no potholes, no justice, no peace."
They always start with justice too. That's always a thing too. Anybody else have a question for Bernie? Greg, do you have a question for Bernie? In a wacky FM voice?
What's going to happen if somebody does a bad job on your lawn?
There's no such thing as a bad job. Only a bad capitalist who gives you a bad Yelp rating. We're going to ban that too. $15 an hour, kids. Until the robots come, and then I'll enlist you in Bernie's army to fight the robots.
Well, that's what we could do, is have a robot. We could fight the robots in his army.
Yeah.
I like this. This is very, very good.
What happens when $15 an hour isn't enough? What happens when we have to move it up to 20?
That's an excellent question. How do you have four houses in Vermont being a public worker your entire life, never having a real job? You get a corrupt wife? Also, you wind up eating Ben and Jerry's every night, just a little mom and pop ice cream shop. The Bureau of Rake and Shovel will be there to train your little kids who learn nothing in college except to listen to me. That was their class all day. Listen to Uncle Bernie, your little snowflake safe space. I'll give you a safe space right here.
I think deep down he hates everybody. That's what my thinking is. You know what I mean? He hates everything. Yeah. Mean megaphone Uncle Bernie. He hates everything.
And he's only allowed to say it when the megaphone comes out.
It's like when you get a cinnamon babka and it ruins your whole freaking day. That's how I feel when I'm around a capitalist.
All right. Well, we expect the particular plans will be unveiled tomorrow on his show.
We're back with the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now, there's a couple of things here that I think are interesting on the national front. And by the way, James Comey has got all kinds of problems. He has all kinds of problems down the road. I think this guy is going to wind up in legal trouble for getting documents out of the FBI. I really do. I think that it's only a matter of time. But certainly he may not, because the swamp has a way, as it's called, a swamp, whatever you call it, the state, the bureaucracy, whatever you want to call it. They have a way of covering for themselves. They really do. And so whether or not anything ever happens to him or not, I'm not sure. But the more I look at this, the more I think this guy, you know, the media darling that he is, what he pulled off here. And at one point, if you remember, Democrats could not stand the guy. You know, Democrats at one point said James Comey has no credibility. Maxine Waters at one point said James Comey has no credibility. That's right. And on MSNBC's All In on Monday's broadcast, Representative Maxine Waters of California stated that she, well, you know, back in 2017 when she said James Comey had no credibility, that was then. That was on January 13th, 2017. And anchor Chris Hayes, who's the other Rachel Maddow, he played a clip of Maxine Waters on January 13th, 2017. You never see Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow in the same room at the same time, by the way, just for the record. When Waters declared that the FBI director has no credibility. Okay, so Chris Hayes, in his swarmy little brunchy kind of way, he brought this up. And, well, take a listen.
But you and Donald Trump do agree.
First of all, why is his voice cracking like a 13-year-old girl? What is that about? What is that about? How this guy gets a TV show? I mean, I understand I don't have the greatest voice in the world, but this guy, I mean, he sounds like he's going through puberty.
He does.
His voice literally just cracked.
Yep.
It cracked. How old is Chris Hayes? He's got to be in his 30s or 40s, right?
Yeah, I think he's my age. I think he's like 37.
I don't know where they find these people. I'm so tired of people saying, I have a face for radio. Okay, fine, but I don't crack like a schoolgirl ever. All right, let's start over, please.
But you and Donald Trump do agree on...
Sorry.
But you said you'd go to the prom with me. But you said you weren't looking for a boyfriend right now, and you're here with this guy. You said that you just wanted to be friends, but I don't think you really meant that.
But you and Donald Trump do agree on that. That sentence you said, the FBI director has no credibility.
Absolutely not.
You and Donald Trump are in agreement.
I tried to clarify that and to say, yes, coming out of that classified briefing, I said that and I certainly meant it. However, I think it is quite different when you take a look at Comey and his relationship to the president, what he said, what he's done. I believe him.
You believe him?
I believe him, yes. And so then was then, and now is now.
Then was then, and now is now. All right? Then was then, and now is now, and that's how I live my life. Every day I live my life. Then was then, and now is now. All right?
Then was then, and now is now.
That's called being present, I think, or something. I'm not sure. All I know is that then was then, now
is
now.
Then was then,
now.
And now is now.
Now. Then, now.
We're back with the Rich Cioli Show.
All right, so a couple of things to update you on the national front today. Senator Rand Paul making his point about why he's changing his mind and will support Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State. We have a little bit of audio of this senator. Take a listen.
You know, you've heard me before say that we've been at war too long and in too many places. I still believe that. I believe that very strongly. In fact, I think that's one of my number one jobs up here is to try to see if we can end some of our military involvement around the globe. And so in saying that, that was one of the reasons I was worried about Director Pompeo, because when I've asked him repeatedly, was the Iraq war a mistake? President Trump has said it's a mistake. Do you say it's a mistake? I really wasn't getting a direct answer. Over the weekend, both meeting with Pompeo and then also discussing again on the phone with him and the president, you know, every time I talk to the president, I become more and more of the belief that he truly does share my notion that we've been at war too long and in too many places. Whether Director Pompeo does or not, he's telling me, yes, that he thinks the president is right and the president's vision for the world is going to be his job. And that I think we'll hear from him publicly, more specifically, that our foreign policy hasn't worked in the past and that regime change hasn't worked. And so these are the things I've been pushing for. And I felt like that in the end, I did get some satisfaction. We also have had some discussions on another front with the president over the last couple of days. I've been very concerned that the FBI is allowed to look at Americans' information without a warrant. And I've had some discussions with him over whether or not we could actually have an executive order from the president that simply says, from now on, we're going to obey the Fourth Amendment and the FBI agents will have to get a warrant to look at these foreign surveillance databases. That's a big step forward for me, too. So in all of these discussions, I came to the point of view that I would give Director Pompeo a chance, and I think that we'll hear more from him in the next couple of days that hopefully will be heartening to those of point of view that we need to have less war.
Well, that's all well and good, Senator. And I agree with you 100%. 100%. In fact, my heart's beating with joy right now. Very, very joyful. I couldn't be happier with what you just said. So bravo to you, and wonderful, and that's great. And yeah, that's it. So good. But who cares because dandruff? Who cares because dandruff? Now, pay attention, kids. You have your outrage du jour tomorrow, served up for you right now today on this show. Yeah, you know what? I've got, what do I have, 10 minutes left? I could spend the time on world peace and Afghanistan and the Fourth Amendment. I'm done. I'm out. It's over. It's over. You hear me, Dawn? It's over.
Uh-oh.
It's over.
What's over?
I didn't know what Dandruffgate was. I had no idea until our buddy Sid on Twitter says, I'm surprised you didn't talk about Dandruffgate. So I had no idea. So I Googled dandruff and I hit news. Let me read you the headlines, shall we? And this is further proof that I think that actually the earth did end years ago. We are all in the Matrix now. Here we go. Trump brushes off Macron's dandruff. Holding hands and brushing off dandruff, Trump tries to forge a relationship. That's from People.com. Mother Jones, enjoy this excruciating clip of Trump brushing off dandruff from Macron's shoulder. The Guardian, Trump gave Macron a taste of his bizarre dandruff diplomacy. The Sydney Morning Herald, Trump brushes dandruff off perfect Macron before issuing Iran warning. Apparently, the president in the Oval Office with Macron went over there and said, I'll get that for you. Macron had a little something on his shoulder, and Trump brushed it off, and everybody is freaking out over this. This is amazing. This is amazing. Just put in dandruff and hit news if you don't believe me. Boing boing, whatever that is. Trump brushes dandruff off the French president's suit. This is why we'll never get out of Afghanistan or have the Fourth Amendment preserved, because he brushes dandruff and the media goes, oh my God, look at this. Financial Times, Trump brushes dandruff from Macron's suit. BBC, Trump brushes dandruff off perfect Macron. The president called him perfect and said, I'll get that for you. SFgate, Trump cleans dandruff off Macron's shoulder in show of friendship. This goes on and on. WFMZ Allentown. President Trump brushes dandruff off President Macron's suit. This is now the biggest story of the day.
God.
This is now the biggest story of possibly our lifetime. Dare I say our lifetime? Oh, it's over. It's over. Yeah, it's over. There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. So
can we just hang it up? I mean,
I think so. Just, it's done. Oh, we're done. You have your scuba. You're in the scuba club, you can't go scubaing. No. You're in the outing club, you can't go outside. And now everybody's losing their minds because the president went, excuse me, I'll get that. And brush it off his shoulder. So now you understand the outrage? It'll be by tomorrow. I mean, forget about it. You'll have, how do you think, well, Joe Scarborough compare, did Hitler ever brush dandruff off somebody's shoulder?
Definitely.
Definitely, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, he killed people with dandruff. There's that. So he'll compare him to Stalin. The purges were about dandruff. Did you know that, Dawn? You didn't know that?
No.
19, maybe 21 million people killed in Stalin's purges over head and shoulders. So they'll compare him to that for sure. And Chris Matthews is going to lose his mind tonight. Spittle be coming out. He'll talk about how Jimmy Carter never did this. Kennedy, can you imagine Jack Kennedy rubbing dandruff off somebody? No, but I could imagine him maybe zipping up his fly after his little Oval Office exploits.
He loves the Kennedys.
He loves the Kennedys. He'll bring up Tip O'Neill. Tip O'Neill would never do this. This is all right.
Remember when Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill used to, you know, have drinks together? Remember those good old days?
Chris Matthews, Ronald Reagan would have never brushed Tip O'Neill's shirt off. This is unbelievable. This is never. I can't believe this. Tomorrow we'll have all kinds of outrage audio. Yeah. You know this is going to happen, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look now that I'm looking at it, they have all this stuff. How they like hold hands. They have this whole like man. I don't know what you call it, man romance.
It's like a bromance, yeah.
So he's brushing off the dandruff. I think that's right. We're talking about masculinity day. Yeah. So he's shown like a man would, you know, help out another man.
That's a great point. I think, Dawn, what we have to do now is remember this, too. This video is going to be analyzed more than the Zapruder film of the president slowly back into the right, rushing the dandruff off, back into the left.
We already have a sneak preview of what Joe Scarborough is going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
And it sounded like Hitler's doctor.
Oh, no.
That was from this morning.
Yeah.
That was from this morning, these idiots on Morning Joe. On Morning Joe this morning, they compared this distinguished man who was nominated to be the VA secretary, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who's an Iraq war hero, who is a Navy admiral. He's an admiral. Joe Scarborough couldn't even go on a cruise ship. This guy's a Navy admiral. He's a distinguished man, decorated with medals, and he was never, when he was Obama's physician, anything but the greatest guy ever. Now he's literally Hitler's doctor. Right? He's gone from being this guy who was Obama's physician everybody loved, going from that all the way to being the Führer's personal physician. Understand how we've lost our minds? Yes, how frustrated I get?
They got to quit drinking in the morning.
Honestly, that's what it is. And so somebody sent me a note today, because I don't watch that show, but they said, they're talking about Hitler, and they're comparing his physician to Hitler. I don't know why I watch the show. I don't know why you watch a show either. It's like watching a car accident. But this is a little bit of audio from the drunken... Honestly, this is 6:15 in the morning, all right? Take a listen to this.
Incredible is a very nice word for it, Mika. I thought it was embarrassing.
You could hear a sucking sound in the room.
Oh, I bet you could.
I thought it was very... shameful. You had a guy that, first of all, obviously, for anybody that's ever... I mean, you don't have to be one of those people that work at circuses that look at... Hey, I can guess your weight. To know that Donald Trump weighs a hell of a lot more than 239 pounds, that was embarrassing. But then, Willie, the topper of it all, the piece of the Stalin swore, what he said.
He's slurring,
slurring his words.
And it sounded like Hitler's doctor. I'm sorry. You all got, hey, you know what?
Just like his Hitler's doctor. Just so like Mengele. Joseph Mengele.
Had a Brooklyn accent.
All right. If Hitler's doctor had a Brooklyn accent, that's what Joe Scarborough says about Dr. Ronnie Jackson.
It's a sin.
Were there a lot of Brooklyn doctors in Germany?
Yeah, no, that's true.
There were a bunch.
Yeah. He's an admiral in the United States Navy. He served in the Iraq War. He's distinguished. He's a physician. But if Hitler's doctor with a Brooklyn accent. Am I right, Mika? You hear that giant sucking sound? That's our IQ as a nation going down the drain.
Riccioli 3 to 6. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.